on the air with a school kids questionnaire brought to you by the makers of Alka-Seltzer and one-a-day brand vitamin tablets. And here they are, the quiz kids with Jack Benny as our special guest. Five quiz kids, get ready for those examination questions you listeners sent in. And if you hear your name on a question, you'll know a Zenith Portable Radio is on its way to you. Because we give a Zenith Portable for every question used on the show. You just mail your questions to Quiz Kids Chicago. We may rewrite them, and we must be sole judges in case of similarity. And now, with the rules and regulations taken care of, we'll get on with the quiz under the tutelage of our chief quizzer himself, Joe Kelly.
Thank you, Fort Pearson, and good evening, everyone. Fort forgot to mention one rule. Of the five quiz kids, the three with high scores come back again. Now, we had one quiz kid who could never come back again on that basis because he got no score at all. So tonight, we bring him back anyway as guest judge. His name, ladies and gentlemen, is Jackie Benny. Now, now, His Honor, Judge Benny, is going to be a little late for school tonight because he's giving his own show for the Army Air Force's Technical Training School away across town in Chicago. So we've arranged for a special escort to rush him here to the studios, and we have reserved an elevator, and it's waiting below to whisk him up to the 19th floor. And while we're waiting, we get on with roll call. Harvey?
I'm Harvey Bennett Fishman. I'm 12 years old and in the 8th grade at the Bradwell School.
Margaret?
I'm Margaret Merrick. I'm 14 years old. I live in Western Springs, and I'm a sophomore at Lyons Township High School.
Richard?
I'm Richard Williams. I'm 13 years old, and I'm in the 8th grade at Roosevelt School, East Chicago, Indiana.
Ruthie?
I'm Alessandra Duskin. I'm 8 years old, and I'm in 5th grade at the Parkside School.
And Joel?
I am Joel Kupperman. I am 6 years old in 2A at Volta School.
Say, wait a minute, Joel. I thought you were going to be on Jack Benny's program right now. What happened?
Well, you see, the government needed some of the time on Jack Benny's program, and both the government and me wouldn't be time enough for both the government and me, and the government was more important than me, so I got off.
Oh, well, good for you. Well, now that's a splendid way to look at it, Joel, and I really admire you. You really are a true little American gentleman. Meantime, Fort Pearson will take over in the mathematics department.
Well, here's the answer to one family problem, Joel. You can add to your comfort and subtract plenty from your miseries if you try Alka-Seltzer when you're bothered with a headache or a touch of acid indigestion. In addition, you'll find Alka-Seltzer soothing when you have an upset stomach, simple neuralgia, or muscular aches and pains. And what's more, you can divide the small cost of Alka-Seltzer by the number of times it may prove helpful. And you'll find the price isn't even a fraction of the comfort it can bring. And that's exactly why the folks who praise Alka-Seltzer are multiplying day by day. Well, that's all for me, Joe. Let the quiz kids take over.
All right, Fort. Well, children, your first question is from Phil P. Greenwood of Brentwood, Maryland. If you were in a hurry to drain the water out of your bathtub, would it drain quicker if you continued to sit in the tub after pulling the plug or if you climbed right out? Richard?
If you sat in the tub, it would drain quicker because the depth of the water would be greater and so the pressure varies directly as the depth of the water, and it'd be deeper, so it'd go out quicker.
That's right, Richard, my boy. Good for you. Well, now, let's see. Harvey has his hand up. Harvey?
Well, I agree with Richard, and there's another reason, too. Well, the water would be higher, and a little bit of it would go out the drain that's on top of the tub, too.
Well, now, say, there's an angle we didn't cover. Okay, good boy, Harvey. Well, now, next question. I hope you won't be at sea answering this question from John H. Barron of Minneapolis, Minnesota. He wants you to think of three seas named after countries or islands. Joel?
There's the Shen Sea I read in John Moon's Law of the Navy. And there's two of them, the North Sand Sea and the East Sand Sea, and there's the Irish Sea and the Arabian Sea.
Well, that's fine, Joel. That's all right, believe me. Well, we've got some more hands up. Let's see how far we can go with this. Margaret?
There's the Bering Sea.
Bering Sea? After a country or an island, Margaret?
Well, there is a Bering Island in Bering Strait.
Well, I'm afraid I'll have to take your word for it. I don't have it on my card. I'm sorry. All right, Harvey?
Well, there's the Java Sea, and I think there's one called the Japan Sea.
Well, that is right. Now, Java Sea, that's another one that I'll have to look up, I'm afraid, because I don't have that on my card. Well, we've got more than enough. Thanks very, very much, kids. We better get along to the rest of our questions now. Gene Archer of Dallas, Texas, must be anticipating spring house cleaning. He wants to know how much it costs to wash completely a window 4 feet wide and 5 feet high at 2 cents a square foot. Margaret?
20 cents.
How much?
20 cents.
You say 20 40, cents?
It'd be 20 square feet, so it'd be 40 cents.
Richard?
80 cents, because you'd have to wash both sides.
Both sides of the window, that's right. I said completely. Yes, sir. That was sort of a little catchy question, Margaret. All right, next question. Esther Woodward of Cleveland, Ohio, points out that some characters in literature are decidedly off the beam. What did these characters do to make you think they are a little off up here? The first character is Ophelia. Margaret?
Ophelia murdered.
Well, I think I'm going to have something more than that.
From Hamlet.
Beg pardon?
She's from Hamlet.
Hamlet, by whom?
William Shakespeare.
That's right. Well, let's see if we can't get something further on Ophelia here. That's all right, Margaret. Ruthie?
What do you mean by off the beam?
Beg pardon? Well, that means, you know, a little bit touched in the upper story up here, see?
She drowned herself.
That's right. And, Margaret, I think that you'll find that Ophelia didn't murder.
Meant murdered herself. I forgot about suicide.
Oh, I see. Yes, she drowned herself. All right, well, I guess that takes care of Ophelia. Now, how about Papageno? Papageno. Ruthie?
Well, he lied.
Well, yes. Can you tell us something else about him?
Well, he was a bird catcher, and he was condemned to serve Tamina in his search for Pamina.
Where would you find Papageno?
In the magic flute.
By whom?
Mozart.
By Mozart. That's right. Now, the next character is Mr. Billingsley. Richard?
Well, he just does sort of silly things around Jack Benny's house.
Tell me, Richard, can you quote him on anything?
Well, when we were on his program, he came in and he said, "Oh, hello, Mr. Benny, playing with the kitties, I see."
Richard, can you tell me who takes the part of Mr. Billingsley?
I think it's Bill Morrow.
No. No. It's, that's beside the point. It's Eddie Beloine, another of Jack Benny's writers. All right. So far, so good, kids. Well, now, Mrs. Frank C. Doyle of Elmira, New York, sends in these descriptions of girls mentioned in songs. What are the songs? This first lady is described by the author as the girl with the strawberry curls. Harvey?
Casey. The band played on, and Casey would walk with the strawberry blonde. And the part that says the strawberry curls is he'd ne'er leave the girl with the strawberry curl, and the band played on.
Well, can you sing part of it for us, Harvey?
He'd ne'er leave the girl with the strawberry curl, and the band played on.
Well, makes everybody want to walk, doesn't it? That was fine. Now the next, here's the next one. The buckwheat cake were in her mouth, the tear was in her eye. Richard?
Well, that's Susanna. From O Susanna by Stephen Foster.
That's right. And I didn't really think you kids would get that because that's rather obscure. It's in the second verse, by the way. But can you sing part of O Susanna?
Oh, that goes, the buckwheat cake was in her mouth, tear was in her eye. Says I, I'm coming from the south. Susanna, don't you cry.
That's very, very nice, Richard. Very nice. All right, Gordon S. Slaughter of Vestal, New York, sends in this Bible question. He wants to know who got left behind in each of these instances in the Bible. Here's the first instance. Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Margaret?
Well, Lot escaped, and Lot's wife did not. She returned to a pillar of salt.
That's right, Margaret. Now, here's the next instance. And the man, the lord of the country, said unto us, hereby shall I know that ye be true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. Ruthie?
Simeon. What's
that? Simeon, that's right. Good for you. Well, the next question is one that comes up in most every home where there are youngsters.
How can I get my children to take their vitamins without a lot of nagging and coaxing?
Well, that's easy. No doubt you're referring to vitamins A and D, or perhaps you call them the cod liver oil vitamins. Well, why don't you give these vitamins to your children in pleasant-tasting tablet form? Yes, I mean one-a-day brand vitamin A and D tablets made by Miles. Each of these easy-to-take tablets actually contains even more than a normal daily supply of vitamins A and D. And these one-a-day tablets are so pleasant-tasting, the children can chew them like candy. And of course, Mother, from your point of view, you avoid not only the coaxing and nagging, but also there's no sticky spoons to wash, no greasy stains on clothes or tablecloth. These winter days, when so many colds are going around, it's wise to give the grown-ups, as well as the children, the vitamin protection of one-a-day vitamin A and D tablets. You take just a single tablet a day, and it costs very little, hardly more than a penny a day when you buy the family-sized package at your drugstore. Remember that name, one-a-day brand vitamin A and D tablets made by the Miles Laboratories. Now, let's have more questions, teacher.
All right, Fort. Well, kids, Ruth Collins of St. Louis, Missouri, wonders whether you can shed any light on how these quotations end. Both mention candles. How far that little candle, and then what's the rest of it? Ruthie?
How far that little candle throws its beam, how shines the shines a good deed in this naughty world.
Well, that's almost true, word for word. Let's see if we can't get in the correct words, Ruthie. Who's that by the way, Ruthie? Well, let's see if Margaret can tell us. Margaret?
Well, Portia says that's in The Merchant of Venice, also by Shakespeare, and I think it's the, how far that little candle throws its beams, so shines on a good deed in a naughty world.
That's right. You were off on just one word. It's his beams instead of its beams. Well, all right. We mustn't get too technical. Here's the next one now. In winter, I get up. Harvey?
In winter, I get up at night and dressed by yellow candlelight. In summer, quite the other way, I have to go to bed by day.
And that's by
Robert Louis Stevenson. It's, I think, a child's garden of verses.
Well, the name of it is, let's see if we can bring that out. Joel?
Bed in Summer.
Bed in Summer, that's it, yeah. Uh-oh, hold everything. The door's opening, and yes, here he is, ladies and gentlemen, His Honor Judge Jack Benny.
Can I talk through here?
I don't know.
through here?
Well, all right, over there, Jack.
No, really, I hate to butt in on this thing. I'm sorry I'm late, but you see, I have my own program every Sunday night at 6 o'clock in Chicago, and I just got through with my own, and I had to run back to my hotel at the Stockyards Plaza, and I had trouble coming. You know how the crowded the cabs are now. You can't get any cabs or anything, so I finally got in a streetcar, and I had an argument with a conductor there, I just happened to ask him if they make rates for actors, and they said no, and had a little trouble there. Where do you want me to sit?
Right over here, Judge. Yes, but listen, you didn't need to go to all that bother. Ordinarily, our judges don't go in for white wigs, you know.
I'm going to find out pretty soon who's going to be the comedian here. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, Judge, school's already in session, so you'd better take your place at the judge's.
Yeah, I'm glad to see all these kids again.
I bet you are. Dad, we're mighty glad to see you.
Gosh, I haven't seen them since we played together about 20 years ago at the Palace, you know?
By the way, Judge, here are the scores up to this point, and you can carry on from there and keep tapping
Thank
on the
you.
Score. All right. Now, let's see.
Pardon me, I put on my glasses. I'm at that trombone age, you know, where you get that thing. And...
Well, that's all right. That's all right, Jack. Don't apologize. Now, here's our next question here. Here's a surprising question from Joe Hefner of Hamburg, New York.
Really?
Oh, yeah. This is for the children, yeah. Now, who was the last Democratic president to serve only one term? The last Democratic president to serve only one term. Margaret?
I think it was Calvin Coolidge.
No. Oh, no. No.
No, no, it wasn't Coolidge.
No, it wasn't. No. I'm glad you're listening.
Was he president at all?
Oh, he was. He was, yes.
Oh, Judge, please. After all. All right, let's see what Harvey has to say.
Was it Buchanan?
Well, now, I'm asking you...
Yes, Buchanan.
That's just who it was. James Buchanan. You really knew that.
I was hoping he'd get it. Yes, I did.
All right, now, who was the last Republican president to serve two full terms?
Fred Allen.
No. All right. Now, Judge...
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Harvey?
You looked at something... I think Ulysses S. Grant.
You think?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Well, I am too. That's what it was. Yeah, that's the answer. Now then, here's a math question from Frank Clark of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Assume that the world is 25,000 miles in circumference. If you walked around the world at the equator, you wouldn't lose your head, but it would go faster than your feet. Approximately... How much farther would the top of your head travel than the soles of your feet? You are 5 1/2 feet tall.
Would you mind repeating that?
Judge, I don't think it's necessary. Oh, we have some hands up. I think I'll call on Richard.
Well, Joel, smaller than I am, so why don't you let him answer it?
Uh-huh. A nice gesture, Richard. It looks to me we're going to be so polite around here tonight, we won't get this question answered at all. So, we'll let Joel try it, and then we'll check with you, Richard. All right, Joel.
5 feet 1 1/2 inches times 2 would equal 10 feet 3 inches times... That's 10 1/4 times 3 1/7. 10 times 3 1/7 equals 31 3/7. And a quarter of 3 1/7 equal 11 fourteenths plus 31 3/7 equal 32 3/14 feet.
Well, now, let's check with Richard on that. Richard?
Well, either I misunderstood or Joel did. I thought you said that you were supposed to be 5 1/2 feet tall.
Yeah, that's right.
But he figured it for 5 feet 1 1/2 inches.
Oh, I see. Well, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's start all over again. I'm sorry.
You see, I was right in asking you to repeat the question.
Ha, ha, ha. You certainly were, Judge.
You know, I mean, after all, I'm a guest here, you know. You've got to treat me with a little courtesy, Mr. Kelly.
Well, I'm very, very sorry.
Just because you're running for mayor again, you know.
I'm sure Edward J. thanks you very, very much for that plug.
He asked me to come over here. I'm not getting paid for this, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, let's start all over again. Joel, do you think you've got it right now? 5.5 feet tall.
Well, 5.5 times 2 equals 11 times 3 in the south equals 34 and 4 sevenths.
34 and 4 sevenths is right. Good for you. Oh, that's
funny,
marvelous.
Joe, I had 33 and a half. I was just a little bit off there. I'm sorry.
Well, I think
I must have figured that wrong.
You left
33 and a half.
Evidently, you left the pie part out.
The cubic. I had the cubic meter in
there.
Oh,
that's where you were wrong. That was 33 and a half.
I can't figure out.
Well, Joel, after the broadcast, will you get together with the judge and explain it to him?
Well, you have to multiply by 2, and then...
I did it! I multiplied.
What? Wait a minute. Joel...
You see, you multiply by 2, and then you multiply... That by 3 and a 7.
I know, I did it twice. I multiplied it twice, and I got 33 and a half.
Then you must have been wrong on the...
Well, all right. Okay. All right, Joe. Joe, listen, I'd just like to say one thing. When I was 8 years old, I used to be able to answer all these questions, too. But believe me, 20 years makes a difference. You forget.
Well, we'll take that up after the broadcast, Joel. Thanks a lot.
Anytime Joel wants to make something out of it, you know. See him later.
I'll tell you what. You can
lick
all catch
him any day he ever saw, you know.
Judge, pardon me. Yeah. You can all catch your breath a minute now while Fort Pearson goes on with the vitamin lesson.
Thank you, Joe. This time I would like to talk about the B vitamins that are so important in our daily diet. Yes, the same B vitamins that you find in one-a-day brand vitamin B complex tablets made by Miles. These B vitamins are found in meat, whole grains, various fruits, and vegetables. They're extremely important where energy, digestion, and nerves are concerned. So, if you're feeling sort of all tired out and nervous, it could be you're not getting enough of those B vitamins. And just so you won't have to bother with them 3 or 4 times each busy day, the Miles Laboratories developed this single one-a-day brand B-Complex tablet to give you the full minimum daily supply of all the B vitamins for which requirements have been established. Yes, all in one little pleasant-tasting tablet. And what's more, you'll find them low price, too. A whole month supply for just 90 cents. That's a name to remember and insist on when you're buying B vitamins. One-a-day brand vitamin B-Complex tablet made by Miles Laboratories. Now, the next question, please, Joe.
All right, Fort. Are you ready, Judge?
Yes.
All right. Now, here is a question from Mrs.
Mary.
Mary,
I got 33 and a half there.
Here is a question from Mrs. Marion P. Miller of New Orleans about famous Allen. I want you to identify them. The first one is Ethan Allen. Margaret?
Well, he and his Green Mountain boys cleaned up on the British. Before and during the Revolutionary War.
That's right. Good for you. All right. How about Alan Adale? Joel?
In the book, it was in the book Robin Hood, and Robin Hood helped Alan Adale win the wife he wanted.
That's right, Joel. Can you tell us something else about him?
He was a minstrel.
Uh-huh.
I mean a minstrel.
That's right. All right, well, thanks very much. Now, wait a minute. I thought there'd be a third part to this question. Another Alan.
There was a juggler by the name of Alan.
Oh, a juggler. Well, I couldn't think of...
He was sort of a louse, if I may.
Well, I really couldn't think of one myself, I guess we'd better get along here. Now, we're going to have some fun with this question from Arlene Erickson of Bellingham, Washington. She wants you to make up some sentences or expressions using the names of popular brands of soap. Punning is permitted. All right, now let's have some sentences or expressions using the names of popular brands of soap. Margaret?
If I had my way, I would bury him.
Uh-huh. Well, that's...
Well, we're back to Alan again.
Yes. All right. Very good, Margaret. All right, any more? Ruthie?
Well, you mean the names of soap?
Yes, you can use the name of a soap.
You're my sweetheart.
Ruthie, that was cute. That was a doozer. Yes, sirree, that's all right. Any more? All right, Joel?
I was just going to say that the one Margaret said was not a real verse. It was blank verse.
Blank verse. How about that, Judge? It's Judge. Huh?
Blank verse?
Yes.
Well, I can't agree with Joel.
Oh, you can't?
No.
Well, all right, then. I think we'd
Not until we get that other argument settled about 33 and a half before I agree with him on this.
All right. Well, I'm for Joel.
I can't understand how I got 33 and a half on that thing.
All right, Margaret?
Well, you could say, it's a blackout. Look, turn off the light.
Yeah, you could. That's all right. Harvey?
Well, this doesn't have to be any particular... Brand of soap. Oh, we'll use palm olive. Palm olive for the phosphorescent skin.
Well, it's all right, too. I think Ruthie is really caught on to the idea now, Ruthie.
There's an ivory statue over there.
An ivory statue. Well, that's all right. Very good. By the way, Judge,
yes?
I said punning is permitted. Would you like to participate in this?
Well, I don't know. I... come in contact with soap so little, I...
Right. Well, okay, let's get along with... Uh-oh, there's the bell, yes, sirree.
The bell saved me.
You certainly did. Yes, that was the last bell. School time's up. And now it's time for His Honor Judge Benny to demonstrate his jurisprudence.
My what?
Well, Jack, you do have the scores ready.
Oh, the score.
Oh, yeah.
Well, don't rush me. I'm double-checking. Let's see. 5-5 is 55. Carry over the square peg into the round root. I still got 33 and a half. Look, Kelly, you're not going to put me in a spot like this. No.
Well, what do you mean, Jack? You're here as the judge, you know, and you're supposed to add the scores and decide which three of the five quiz kids come back next week.
Oh, I am. Well, listen, Mr. Kelly, the quiz kids are all friends of mine, and the way my scores come out, all five of them tied for first place, and they all come back next week.
Well, that's certainly fair, Your Honor. And I know
figure
they're...
out how he got 34 and the 47.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. Now, we'll have Joel get together with you after the broadcast, Joel, by the way, after the broadcast.
Yeah.
And then he can explain everything to you, and I'm sure that he will straighten you out on that, I'm sure.
I'd like to have him straighten out how I can save a dime out of my income tax next year, too. Together later, Joel. We'll figure
yes,
thing
you
out.
Two fellows get together. Now, as I said before, that was certainly fair of you, Jack, and I know there'll be no appealing your decision. Now, of course, you know we give each quiz kid a $100 denomination war bond from the makers of Alka-Seltzer. And these bonds are...
Oh, I was worried there for a minute.
Yeah.
Who gives $100?
The makers of
Alka-Seltzer. Oh, yes. I thought it was the judge for a moment. I got a little bit there.
Yeah, the children get them.
Oh,
now, these bonds are to help the children with their future education.
I see.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't get anything, no bonds or anything.
No, that's just for the children.
I just come over here for nothing. I see.
Well,
Joe, that thing, they help our boys on the fighting front for such things as liberty and democracy and freedom of education, which makes possible splendid American youngsters like the quiz.
Thank you very much, Jack. And thank you very, very much for lending us your judicial presence tonight. Yeah. Well, school's over. This is Joe Kelly dismissing the quiz kids class until this same time next Sunday. Good night, kids.
Good night, Mr. Kelly.
Good night, Judge Benny.
Good night, teacher.
Listen to the Quiz Kids every Sunday at this same time. Jack Benny appeared on the Quiz Kids program through the courtesy of the General Foods Corporation. This is Fort Pearson speaking.
This program came to you from Chicago. This is the Blue Network.